Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Many are led to think that they are on the road to heaven because they profess to believe in Christ, while they reject the law of God. But they will find at last that they were on the way to perdition instead of heaven. Spiritual poison is sugar-coated with the doctrine of sanctification and administered to the people. Thousands eagerly swallow it, feeling that if they are only honest in their belief, they will be safe. But sincerity will not convert error to truth. A man may swallow poison, thinking it is food, but his sincerity will not save him from the effects of the dose. God has given us His word to be our guide. Christ has said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." John 5:39. He prayed to his disciples, saying, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. Paul says, "I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." Acts 26:9. But his belief will not make his cause right. When Paul received the gospel of Jesus Christ, it made him a new creature. He was transformed. The truth planted in his soul gave him such faith and courage as a follower of Christ that no opposition could move him, no suffering daunt him. Men may make what excuse they please for their rejection of God's law, but no excuse will be accepted in the day of judgment. Those who are contending with God and strengthening their guilty souls in transgression must very soon meet the lawgiver over his broken law. The day of God's vengeance cometh, the day of his fierceness, of his wrath. Who will abide the day of his coming? Men have hardened their hearts against the Spirit of God, but the arrows of his wrath will pierce where the arrows of conviction could not, will pierce where the arrows of conviction could not. God will not far hence arise to deal with the sinner, while will the false shepherd shield the transgressors in that day. Can he be excused who went with the multitude in the path of disobedience? Will the popularity or numbers make any guiltless? These are the questions which are careless and indifferent should consider and settle for themselves.
Still in the land of the living, and be most grateful and thankful. We pray not only for ourselves, Father, that your Holy Spirit will fall on all of the listeners, and especially on those that will be led by your truth today. And Father, when all is said and done, we pray that the conviction of our heart will not go away, but we will allow that conviction to lead us straight to the throne of grace, where we will find grace and power to walk in the light as you are in the light. When all is said and done, Father, we pray that all of us will be on one accord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regular listening audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. Now, as many of you are aware who are regular listeners, we'll be having a show, a live call-in show on June the 12th from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the same station. And our topic would be the rapture, truth or fiction. So we welcome your questions and comments on that evening to call in and give us your views on the rapture. For this afternoon's program, if you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 322-6273. Or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And those of you who might not be aware yet, we have a website, www.tpministries.org, where you could find these programs, or most of the programs on air, or the Guardian articles written by Brother Paul or Brother Renwick, and also some health tips, and also ways to reach each person here at Turning Point individually. If you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to the program, you can log on to www.znsbahamas.com. Now, before we get into our discussion this afternoon, as many of you are aware, we are preparing for June the 12th on the rapture. So once again, our program is going to take on the fold of the rapture. And we're going to be dealing with questions on the rapture to Brother Paul and Brother Renwick. But before we do that, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update.
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. Good afternoon once again. Ladies and gentlemen, that talk show will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Please join us. That will be the 12th, like Brother Julian told you. We'll be on there from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. But before we get into our program today, we would like to send condolences to two different families, and not only to these families in particular, but especially to these families because we know them as family, at least some of them. And we'd like to also send condolences to all of those who have lost loved ones during the course of this week or in the weeks that have passed. Today, we'd like the members of Turning Point Ministry would like to send condolences to the family of Mr. Gordon Lowe, who is one of the staff members here at ZNS and also the ZNS family. We'd like to send condolences to his wife, his children, all the family members that sadly missed Brother Gordon today. But ladies and gentlemen, we realize that at the end of time, when time should be no more, if he died in the Lord, he know for sure he would rise again. So what a cause now for us to continue to live faithfully so we would meet Brother Gordon once again. And we also like to send condolences to Mrs. Beverly Lockhart. If you're a frequent listener to this radio program, you know she was battling cancer for some time now. And just a few years ago, we had on this program sharing a testimony how the Lord has spared her life over the time the doctors permitted that she should be alive. And just on Monday past, she passed away. So today we'd like to send condolences to her husband, her children, also to all of her family members. And may the Lord continue to be with them in this time of their bereavement, that they will have the peace that passes all understanding that only come from the court above.
All right, Brother Paul. Last week you started to explain to us or talk about this rapture song. Could you continue that explanation on the rapture song and tell us what it's about and what's the name of it, please?
Thank you very much, Brother Julian. The title of this song we've been hearing a lot on the gospel station is that I pray that you all be ready. The song sounds good. I mean, right on the surface, I mean, it's really put together real nice. But when you check the contents of the word of the song, it's not in harmony with the word of God. One of the is in three different parts. One of the parts of the song says, two men were walking along the road. One of them had a heart pure of gold. The sky was split. The pure heart one was raptured away, but while the other was left behind. Who did not purge his heart in the time he cried to the Lord, but for him it was too late. So that song says one of the brothers was taken and the other one was crying to the Lord. Said, what happened? He didn't go, and it appears that it was too late for him. The next part of the song says a man and his wife was laying in a bed, and the spirit, one of them was the spirit led. One was taken above and the other rose the next day to find their loved one has been raptured away. Oh, what a way to lose one of your loved ones. Then the next part of the song says, Mama and the children went to the mall. Then Mama heard the master's call. Mama was swept away. And Mama, now it's too late now to rely on Mama's prayer, it says. And when your Mama is no longer there to learn you how to pray or teach you how to pray, I think they should have said, now is the time for us to pray, to be ready, as if there's going to be another time to get ready. If you really put these three phrases of the song up against the Bible test, ladies and gentlemen, it would not pass the test. And how would you know? You go to Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 37, when Jesus gives the example, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, just like how those that were left behind by fire and by water. Those that were saved was taken up by the angels, Lot and his family, and those that were saved in the ark were taken away in the ark of safety. That's just how it's going to be when Christ returns. And that's why tomorrow I'll be asking you to join us at 8 o'clock right here on 50 and 40 as we open the airline so you can hear your comments on this such timely message.
Brother Renwick, Revelation 3:10. Doesn't this text tell us that Christians will be escaping the tribulation?
Well, this is what some people try to make the text into. And for the past few weeks, we've been sharing with you and showing from the scriptures that the biblical view of the second coming of Christ, that there is not a secret rapture, but in fact, Christians will be here during the time of trouble, during the time of testing, during the tribulation time. And we showed you from the scriptures that even as it was in the days of Noah, God did not take Noah out of the world during the flood, but he protected him during the flood. Same with Lot. Lot was not taken out of the world when the fires came down on Sodom, but Lot was taken out of the city and he was protected from the fire. Well, let's turn to the Bible and read Revelation 3:10 and see what it says. And it says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the world to try them that dwell on the earth. And this is the text that many people that teach the futurist interpretation say that this means that that we will be kept from the tribulation. We'll be taken out of the world during the tribulation time. But we've shown that there's another school of thought when it comes to Bible prophecy, and that is the historicist view, which shows that prophecy has unfolded over the ages, and certain points of prophecy aren't the prophetic clock doesn't stop at one point and then everything else is just pushed down to the end of time. That's something that was concocted by the Jesuits. But in fact, that the prophetic clock keeps on ticking, and it's ticking even now. But let's examine this word. The key word in this passage in Revelation 3:10 is the word keep. Keep in mind that the Old Testament, those original texts, were written in Hebrew, and the New Testament were written by Greek authors. If we examine the Greek meaning of the word keep in Revelation 3:10, it means to guard from loss or injury. It also means to properly prevent from escaping, to set up a fortress or a military line. So what Jesus Christ was saying to believers and through this text in Revelation is not that he would take us out of the world during this time of trouble, but that he would put a hedge around us and protect us from the trouble that comes upon the world. And of course, we'll be protected from his judgment as long as we abide in him. The same text is found also in Jude chapter 1 verse 24 and John 17 verse 15. Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to prevent you from falling, to put a hedge around you, to guard you." John 17:15 says, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil." And that's the same message that the Lord Jesus is sending to his saints even today, that in the end times, he's not going to remove us from the evil time, but he's going to guard us from those terrible things that are to come.
Amen. But Paul, you said that you were searching the internet and you found some letters on the internet written by some persons who said that they were leaving those letters for those who left behind. Could you share what some of the letters say?
Yes, Brother John, that is correct. I did find some letters on the internet that was posted there by people who said they're going to leave them there for their family members. In the event that they're not raptured away, they would go and read these letters to find exactly what is going on. You know, last week we shared with you there were 40 books that was written just for kids, trying to teach them the concept of what happened to you when you get left behind. And like Brother Julian said, I found 55 letters on the internet that are written on the internet for people who are left behind by the so-called deceptive theory that is out there, because it's not true. We told you that is written, this thing came about by the papacy system that came about in the era known as the Council of Trent. That is the name of the thing that came on. And some of the letters that I found were entitled, Where Did They Go? A letter for Jimmy. A letter from one of the missing. You have been left behind. To those who have been left behind, before I disappear from earth, my darling is also a title of one of the letters, and Jesus has returned. Well, when Jesus returned, ladies and gentlemen, like we told you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the wicked will be struck down with the brightness of his coming. So those who are left behind will not be left behind dead. And I told you in Jeremiah 25, I think it is, in Jeremiah 25, it talks about that they will not be lamented. There will be no one here to bury them during that time. And they'll remain dead on the face of it, according to Revelation chapter 20. They'll remain dead for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. And when the 1,000 years have expired, then Christ will wake them out of their sleep. So, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to search the scriptures to see whether we are in the faith.
But Paul, you mentioned one of those letters that said, you have been left behind. Could you share what the letters say for us, please?
I'm just going to read a small portion of the letter, because the letter was sort of lengthy. And for time's sake, it says, if you are reading this letter, chances are you have been trying to find us after millions of people have disappeared. This has been left behind in the hope. What they said, this letter that you read has been left behind in the hope that whosoever find it may know what has happened. I really hope that if this is any of my family members, you will repent and turn to God right now. This letter may seem harsh, but it's written with love. You may or may not have any religious background, but now is probably a good time to catch up. So this letter is telling the loved one that really after the raptured family member has been taken away, that if you didn't repent then, you have time to repent now. When we know, ladies and gentlemen, based on the scriptures, the Bible says, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Now is the acceptable time to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this letter, I mean, if you will examine it based on the Bible's contents, you know for sure this letter is out of line. When a person is going to write a letter and leave on the internet for their family member who was left behind, that if they didn't get their act together now, don't feel bad. You can get together right now. So repent, they say.
Brother Renrick, we know that this left behind rapture theory, ideology that comes about in this world today is also linked to the Antichrist. Can you tell us if the Antichrist is a single individual or many people?
Well, I can't tell you, but let's let the word of God Amen. Tell you. And I ask all of our listeners to please turn to 1 John, that little book, chapter 2, and let's examine verse 18 and see what the Holy Spirit says through John. And it says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, not one, but John says here, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." See, Brother Julian, when we examine and go through God's word, if we find something that convicts us or find something we don't like, we don't take it and rip it out of the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to throw that away because I don't like it and rewrite it. And that is exactly what those that came up with the futuristic theory attempted to do. They tried to rewrite scriptures and take certain prophecies and alter them and push it all the way down to the end of time to take the heat off of them. But the Bible is clear. And the Bible is totally counter to this futuristic theory that at the end of time, only at the end of time, after the church is taken away, one big bad Antichrist is going to rear his ugly head. That is not what the Bible teaches. Even back during the times of John, that the spirit of Antichrist, that men who had that Antichrist spirit were operating in the world. And this is clear through Scripture.
Thank you. One other question, though. Is it true, and I've heard many say that the Antichrist will rise out of Europe and come into the church?
This is not true. As a matter of fact, the Bible itself teaches the exact opposite of what this theory teaches. That not that the Antichrist will come out of the world and come into the church, but the Antichrist will come out of the church and lead people back into the world. And we can begin to study this by again turning to John, not First John, but the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 12, and it says, "While I was with them," and this is Jesus speaking, and he says here, "While I was with them in the world, I have kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them I lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled." We know that when Christ said the son of perdition, he was referring to Judas. Judas, a man that walked with Jesus during the time that he was on earth. Judas that was one of the disciples. He was one of the 12. He had all the attributes of the disciples, but at the end we saw that he changed. And he came out from amongst the disciples and into the world, that his true character was revealed at the end. And this is the comparison that Jesus is making between the Antichrist and Judas, that the Antichrist would not come out of the world and come into the church, but the exact opposite of that the Antichrist would arise within the church and lead those into the world. And the Holy Spirit confirms the same thing through the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians. And if we read from chapter 2, verse 1, and he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him," this is again referring to the second coming, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come," what? And the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul, "and except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Again, this is talking about the Antichrist power, "who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul says clearly here that first there would come a falling away in the church, that people would depart from the pure truth of the gospel, from the pure truth from within God's word, and they would start to follow error. And out of this would arise the spirit of Antichrist and many Antichrists that will lead people out of the church to follow the ways of the world, to follow false doctrine and false theories.
Brother Paul, you mentioned the letters, and I want you said the letters are long, so get one more letter. The letter that was written to those who have been left behind. Could you read some excerpts for that letter from me, please?
Yes, Brother Julian. I quote, it says, "Gone now are the days of wondering who was right and who was wrong." So with the letters, are staying right off the crack of the gun is that if you want to know who is living on the Lord's side, at this time you know who is on the Lord's side. If you've been left behind, I mean, you definitely know you're not on the Lord's side. But if your friends all disappeared, then you know they were on the Lord's side. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the only ones who would know who is on the Lord's side or not at the beginning of this big event would be those who are raptured with the Lord in the first resurrection, and those who are alive when he comes. Those who are left behind, once again, I must repeat, will be left behind dead for 1,000 years, Revelation 20. He says, gone now is the time of choosing to believe what so many have tried to tell you. You have been told so many times in so many different ways about what is to come. But you have chosen to harden your heart to the Lord and to the plea of others that was trying to warn you of this time. And what was they was trying to warn them of according to this letter? They told you that Jesus would come in a cloud to gather all of his children to him before the 7 years of hell that are going to begin on the earth. In the brackets, they have the tribulation. But for one reason or another, you choose not to believe. God has given you the choice to believe and have faith and hope in him. So with this letter saying that now, after those are raptured, there are going to be 7 years of hell, meaning 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. But ladies and gentlemen, what they did with this prophecy was they divided the 2020 days prophecy. And on our next week program, we'll explain to you how they get 7 years. The 7 years that they're speaking of, ladies and gentlemen, are history. This is a part of when Christ was here on the earth. The 7 years that they're speaking about here. So what they are saying is that when the church is raptured, there are going to be 7 years of tribulation. But how sad it would be at the end of time, realize that we were swept into a concept that came to us from the papacy system that started in the Council of Trent, that was started with the Jesuit priest by Francisco Ribera. And now today, the sad reality is the people that came up with the concept are not teaching it. And those who didn't know about it now are on board with it and teaching to their fellow brethren. And today, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of our brethren are being deceived, because when I do the calculation with people who I ask this one-on-one, most people are on the side of the deception and not on the side of the Bible teach. Once again, we ask you to join us tomorrow night. And we'll be here at 8 o'clock to share with you with the nation for 2 hours, and you can have your calls ready, and we'll try our best to ask the Spirit of the Lord to fall on us to share with you what the Word says and not what any member of Turning Point has to say.
Brother Enric, what else does the Bible have to say about the Antichrist? Won't he be against Christ and Christians and rise to power after the rapture?
That's not what the Bible has to say, Brother Julian. Sadly, and we speak on this subject quite soberly and with no joy, because we know that it's a very touchy subject and it really cuts to the core. But, you know, we really must examine what the Bible says and take the scriptures as a whole. What does the Bible have to say about the Antichrist's power? I invite all of you, ladies and gentlemen, then the sound of my voice, to grab your pens and your papers and to make note of the scriptures that I'm about to read to you. And study for yourselves. Pray and ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as you study yourselves what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us through his scripture about this Antichrist's power. And we'll start. Number one, he is revealed before the second coming of Christ. And listeners, you can find this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We just read that a few moments ago, that before Christ comes, this Antichrist's power will be revealed. Number two, he originates from within the church. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and also John 17, verse 12, and 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. He draws many within the church away from the truth that is contained within God's word. And this is through seduction, this is through deception, through false theories. And he draws these people after himself, that those within the church believe that this is the truth, but people are actually following a false system that appears to be true and that appears to be genuine. And we can find this in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 through 30. And I'd just like to read this particular point of scripture. It says, "For I know this," and Paul is again talking to the church, and he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." This is a serious, serious words, ladies and gentlemen, not something to be taken lightly. Again, number four, his true desire, the true desire of this Antichrist power, is the same desire that Satan had back in the beginning of time, to obtain worship for himself, that people may worship him instead of worshiping the true God. But this Antichrist power is not going to come out, jump up and say, "I want everyone to bow down and worship me." But the worship is obtained through deception. And we can find these scriptures again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, and Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. And this speaks about the true intentions of Satan. Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, and Revelation chapter 13, 11 through 12. Number five, our fifth point, the Antichrist does not rise against Christ, as the false teachings have been espousing, but he comes in as a deceiver. He comes as a deceiver and tries to take the place or to usurp the place of Christ. And again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. And our sixth key point here, that that the Antichrist power is already in the world. This is not some future power that's about to arise after the church is taken away, but this anti-power is already mightily at work in the world today. And our scripture for this is 1 John chapter 4, verses 3, and 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask you to ask yourselves a few questions. Is there a religious system today that takes to itself those things that only belong to God, that fits the characteristics of the Antichrist while at the same time appearing as a lamb-like power or as a Christian power? Number one, is there a religious power today claiming the ability to forgive sins, the ability that only Christ has been given? Mark chapter 2 verse 7, Matthew chapter 9 verse 6. Is there a power in the world today that claims the ability to forgive sins? Number two, that calls men to confess to them, to the priests. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. Number three, that teaches that there are many paths to salvation through the Virgin Mary, through someone called Allah, and through the saints. While the Bible says in John chapter 14 verse 6 that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. And point number four, is there a power in the world today that claims to have the power to take men out of hell and put them into heaven? That if you pay an indulgence or some offering, or if you pray enough prayers, that the priest on your behalf can pray that this person will come out of hell and go into heaven? Or if the person turns against the church and is no longer in the favor of the church, this power claims to have the power to put people directly in hell. Is there a religious system, a Christian religious system in the world today that claims all of these things? You answer the question for yourself, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're telling you, to read the Council of Trent. If you read the Council of Trent, everything Brother Renrick said is basically in a nutshell in the history of the Council of the Trent. You know, it's right there for us to see. But the problem is, we're so busy doing other things, we don't want to have the time to search for ourselves.
Our final question this afternoon, Brother Paul, is what should we be doing now if we don't want to be confused with all this rapture and other stuff that is going on?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Brother John, tells us we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. Our workmen need not be ashamed. We should be rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalms 119 tells us that we must hide the word of God in our hearts today.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O Lord, for another opportunity to come before your throne. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we come before you asking to a full understanding of this rapture, the rapture theory, the Antichrist, your second coming. All of these things, send down your Holy Spirit. Give us the power to search the scriptures to make sure that what we believe is the truth. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, ladies, we ask you to join us tomorrow night. That's at 8 o'clock right here on 1540. Tomorrow night we'll be here live for 2 hours taking your calls on the question, the secret rapture, fact or fiction. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller. Our telephone number is 322-6273.
And this is Brother Renrick.
And Julian Miller, and may the Lord richly bless you.